This Before We Flush podcast was recorded live in our studios with actual human beings. Now, Before We Flush.
Welcome to the show. Another week. That means another Before We Flush on a Monday. Neil Bradley here in Murray. Ricky Martin is in the mobile studio. Are you just driving around today with nothing to do?
Yeah, just driving around. I'm doing what you do, but I'm doing it in a car. You're doing it in a studio.
Oh, I got you. All right.
But just killing time, doing nothing.
But does that mean you're getting ready to call it a day here in a few minutes then, right? If you're doing what I do.
Yeah, I wish. I wish. Lunch break and then back to the grind for about 4 more hours. And then my daily 4 hour or 1 hour commute back home.
Sure. Were you in your area over the weekend, or did you travel? What did you do this weekend?
No, I was here. I was in Savannah. We had some family that was driving through from North Carolina on their way home back to Florida, so they stopped in. And so Friday night was low key, just putting some furniture together, some stuff, and then Saturday was putting more furniture together and doing some cleaning and getting the new place ready for the company. And then yesterday, spent some time out at the pool, went downtown, had a good dinner. It was a good day.
Well, I didn't know. I wanted to be sure you weren't at the Dota 2 International Video Game Tournament in Seattle.
Does that sound like something I would be going
well,
to?
Well, do you play video games, don't you?
I play one video game.
What is it?
Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12.
Oh, so that's
2012
it?
Version. That's the only one that I have and the only one that I like.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you just look like...
I don't think there's a lot of Tiger Woods exclusive golf, you know, players going, gamers going to this convention.
Well, you just have that video game look to me. You know, skateboard, sock hat, scruffy beard,
yeah.
All that.
That's probably the two arm sleeve tattoos that I have.
It may be that. Yeah. Well, anyhow, I thought maybe you were out there watching it. The U.S. team wiped out rivals from China, Russia, South Korea. They took the grand prize. This is video games, Ricky.
Right.
They took a grand prize home of $1 million.
Hey, I'll play some video games for $1 million.
They're called the Evil Geniuses, so they'll split that up on their team. Now, no one will come out and watch something as dumb, right?
But you'd be surprised.
Yeah, here's how surprised I am. It was in Key Arena, and it was sold out, 17,000 seats to watch them play video games.
The Knicks are kind of thinking, well, hey, what if we play the basketball game on the floor, but on the Jumbotron we have guys playing video games? Maybe get some butts in the seats at Madison Square Garden next year, you know?
I'm in the wrong business. So what we need to do is, all you kids whose moms and dads say you stop wasting time playing video games, don't listen to them. Keep playing the video games. Don't worry about studying for class and blah, blah, blah. You know, you don't need all that, long as you're really, really good at video games.
I'm sure your son is going to appreciate you giving that advice to his two sons and daughter. I'm sure that your grandchildren would love to hear what their grandpa has to say about their future.
Well, actually, I guess they can listen now because this is unbelievable. Jacob, he has his first phone. He'll turn 12. I'm not sure what a 12-year-old needs with a phone, but that's daddy's decision there. And he has his own Twitter account now.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I don't even know that that's legal, but he has it.
I've got to give him a follow.
Yeah, well, he's, I guess, my latest follower. I noticed you have one new follower. Well, who's that? It's like, Jacob. Oh, my goodness.
He didn't even follow me. That hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Tell him that I don't know if I'm talking to him right now.
Well, maybe he didn't know. I mean, a lot of times, here's how, you know how that works. When you sign up for Twitter, it suggests followers, and I'll bet you he'll follow you.
We'll see.
All right. He's...
Well, we are fighting until he does.
All right.
You can tell him that he and I are officially in an argument.
All right. Well, that was the that video game thing was the, you know, I thought, oh, it's nuts, until I saw $1 million grand prize and went, oh my gosh. Well,
that's awesome.
All right. Well, anyway, my weekend was spent, and I could feel the jealous vibes coming from the East Coast from you. While I was chatting with Marcus Brown, he was also did some color commentary with me while I was doing the Hoopalooza alumni game. I got to hang out with Popeye Jones. It was quite a weekend at Racer Hoopalooza, and I also got to hear from Scott Edgar, who gave the speech as well.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite weekends of the year, and I'm bummed that I don't get to go anymore. It's a fun weekend. I mean, from the dinner to the golf scramble, where, you know, I know Dave Winder got some great photos of that.
Yeah.
You know, all the way through to the alumni game. There's just a whole lot of events that really appeal to a wide range of Murray State fans. And You know, I know that it was a special event for you because I know how close you and Marcus are. You flaunted that Marcus Brown jersey in my face several times. And so I know that he's a special guy for you. And it's such a great event. It's so awesome to have, you know, to be fortunate enough to be a Murray State fan, to have gone to Murray State, and to have a history and a tradition in that basketball program where you can carve out a weekend every year and honor great players and teams, and you don't have to worry about running out of people. And, you know, you've got plenty of great teams and players and coaches that you can honor and reminisce on the great history. There's a lot of programs in the country that don't have the luxury of getting to have an entire weekend devoted to the history and the future of their program. And, you know, Murray State is one of the few, and nothing showcases that history like this weekend.
Well, it was fun, and the cast, this is the third one we've had, it changes year to year. There's some players and coaches who they can or cannot make it, but to Vester Anderson, he was in, and there's everyone from longtime starters, you know, like Marcus Brown. I didn't get a chance to – I didn't even see John Jackson, who was Mr. Dunk whenever I used to watch years and years ago. But he showed up at the Hoopalooza game there on Saturday. So I don't know if he was down the night before or not. If so, I missed him. But there were walk-ons and managers, and it just means a lot to so many. And, of course, to the fans to get to mingle with these folks and to relive a lot of old times, it is really special. But we did this year, didn't see Ed Daniel, didn't have Tony Easley, but a lot of these guys are involved with pro teams and their contracts. Campaign wasn't there. He has this rookie event, the mandatory rookie event that he has to attend, so he wasn't able to come. But
I guess that's a good excuse.
Yeah, it is. But Isaiah said that, yeah, he had to go through that. I think it's like over a week of stuff that they have to go through through the NBA. So I think it's – I don't know if it's seminar or whatever they call it, but there's
it's like
a week
rookie
of it.
Symposium, I think.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's it. Right. So, yeah, you got to get going through all that. So, but you'll see some of those guys in and out from year to year. But they all talk about the championships and their teammates. And that's what I've found over the years. Of all the folks they miss, it's the coaches and the teammates that they never forget. I mean, they're brothers for life.
Right. And those are the people that they've gone into battle with. And, you know, those are the guys that, you know, we are lucky enough, and you even more than I was, you know, you got to travel with the team and kind of see them at team dinners and stuff and on the bus. But there's only a handful of people in the world that actually know what happened behind those locker room doors. And it's the players, the coaches, and the managers. And that's where everything is earned. That's where, you know, a lot of the hard work gets put in, a lot of the late hours, and a lot of the cutting up and some of the tougher moments, you know, some when teams are struggling, you know, with that, that's where the heart-to-heart talks come from, the challenging the guys. So everything good and bad about what makes a special basketball team special usually happens outside of even the media's vision. And I think that's probably one of the things that stands out most, as you said, about this program. These guys, they have a really long-lasting, a lifetime bond because of the things they got to experience behind the doors in all the different venues that Murray State's called their home in basketball over the last 80 years.
And then an odd story, and Matt had shared this with me previously. I'd just forgotten it. Heck, I'm old. But you understand that. But he told me when he was eight, his I think it was his godfather, he said, who went here, took him to Knoxville to watch the NCAA tournament. Murray State was in it. They almost beat Michigan State, and Popeye Jones, of course, was there. And here's Popeye at the event the other night. So I'm sure that made Popeye feel about a million years old, that the Murray State head coach was 8 years old and watched him play. But how special is that? How bizarre is that, that the guy that would be our coach in the future is watching Popeye Jones? Historic performance, because no one's taken a 16 hasn't taken a one to overtime since. No one has ever beaten them. That's as close as anyone's ever come. And two guys, a part of history, were both at the same event the other night. That just blew my mind.
Yeah, it is. It's such a small world. And that's what I'm talking about when you talk about the history and the tradition. There's not a whole lot of schools out there, you know, that would happen at, because, you know, it takes a lot of factors have to come into play. You know, along with, you know, that team being really, really good there in the early 90s, getting there to Knoxville, to the NCAA tournament, as you said, having that historic game against Michigan State, Matt McMahon's dad taking him there, and then the program sustaining that success long enough that Matt could go through the college ranks as a player, then a coach, and now a head coach. You know, a lot of things have to happen for that to come full circle, and there's only a handful of spots in the country where you get stories like that that are really unique and special to the university, to the program. And that is, I mean, I'm sure Popeye Jones did feel very old, but, you know, he's one of the best. And one of my favorite stories, I don't know if it was you that had told me, maybe it was Dave Winer, but at that NCAA tournament, I believe, was when Dick Vitale came through the hotel lobby. And of course, you know the story better than I do. I think you're the one who told it to me.
Oh, this, yeah.
You see Popeye Jones. You tell the story. You tell it way better.
Yeah, this actually wasn't there. It was at OVC Basketball Media Day, and it was back when had the tournament in Lexington. And we had it, I guess, sort of late in the season, which was very odd, but that's just what they did back then. But Kentucky was playing in the preseason NIT the next night. I think we had this event on a Thursday at the hotel, I don't remember, I guess the Hyatt Regency that joins Rupp Arena. I believe that's the one that's connected to it. And
yeah,
so there we are. We're having that thing. We're in the lobby with Popeye Jones, and Dick Vitale comes in to do the game the next night. I think Kentucky played Pittsburgh the following night. And it's Popeye Jones, Mr. Glassman. He goes on and on about it. It's like,
didn't you call him the glass eater?
Yeah, the glass eater, Popeye Jones. And Popeye, you know, went over and they shook hands and talked to him. He goes, this guy's unbelievable. It's like, but that shows you how Vitale, even back then, knew the game just in a glance. He knew Popeye Jones instantly and called him out right there and wanted to say hi to him.
That's awesome. Either way, this had nothing to do. That story ended up having nothing to do with Matt McMahon in Knoxville, but it's still one of my favorite stories, so I'm glad we told it anyway. And I don't really care if it had anything to do with it.
All right. Now, then Saturday, I go to the scrimmage, the first football scrimmage of the season. And if you just looked at the stats that they gave, I was like, man, we gave up a lot of scores. But I'll tell you what, Ricky, defensively, it was one score that, and that was early on. Paul Rice with the longest play of the day goes about 70 yards with a touchdown pass from Matthew Christian. But from there on, there wasn't it. All those scores were short field scores where they put the ball, you know, at the 30 or the 25
right,
or the 20 or something like that, or goal line. I was really pleased with the defense, more than I thought I would be, and I'm more encouraged instead of less encouraged after seeing that based on what I saw defensively.
Right, and that's all you want to be, you know, just a little bit more encouraged and understanding that this is so early still in the camp process, but knowing that this is the time where you've got to start seeing some change, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. No one, I don't think. I'm sure Coach Stewart and all the players and coaches all say they want to see improvement on the offense, but I think if you told Murray State fans, look, the offense is probably going to be pretty close to what it was last year, they'd say, okay, that's fine, we'll take that. And the defensive side of the ball has been the biggest issue, and so it is, you know, there is a lot of reason for optimism with seeing some improvement, obviously with your takeaway being that, you know, those scores did happen in short field situations. And, you know, it's going to continue to get better. You know, they're still trying to put things on film for these guys, get guys into certain positions. It happens every camp. You know, I saw it firsthand for two or three years. You get guys and, you know, they're playing one position, and then you think, you know, if we put 10 pounds on this guy, he could do something else, or maybe he'd be more versatile in a nickel package and doing different things, moving pieces around. So they're still in that process of figuring out where do we need to put guys to have the most success. And luckily, they've still got a little bit of time, but you do want to definitely be seeing some of those strides in a successful way about this time, and it sounds like, according to you, that you're seeing that.
Some other things, too. Mark Dodson, I think he only carried the ball one time, and I think got 4 yards. I talked with Mitch after the game. He said they just didn't have a lot of things in for him yet. No worry about that. You'll probably see him more in the second scrimmage coming up this next weekend. And also, he had told us that Zeke Pike, the transfer quarterback from Louisville, said, look, if he is not the quarterback and not playing quarterback, he's going to be out there doing something too good of an athlete. He lined up at fullback one time for one of the plays. So they're going to put him out there for something. And then our latest guy to sign in with the Racers is a Florida International transfer. I think he's a senior, so it's a one-year guy with Dominique Rimes, and he hooked up with a touchdown catch from KD Humphreys. He's big, has good hands. This is a really big-time get offensively for the Racers, who've made their team a lot better with these late additions, Ricky.
they have. And that's one of the big keys. When you're at an FCS program, you keep some of those scholarships in your back pocket because things fall through. These FBS guys, they look for more playing time. They look for better situations, more stability, and they find that. And you know, you want to make sure that you have the resources to take care of those guys whenever that opportunity arises. And Mitch Stewart, to his credit, Coach Hatcher always did a phenomenal job with this. You know, made sure that he had the flexibility in his roster, you know, not just managing the guys that were present, that were going to be on the active roster for this year, but managing those open spots and making sure that they took guys from the FBS level that they really knew could help this football team. That's exactly what's happened, and that's exciting. It's good to know that these guys are in, and not only that they're present, that they're there, but that they are making an impact. And, you know, these guys make a big difference when you talk about getting into OVC play. They make a huge difference, these FBS guys. I mean, look at what a dominating player Quay Hussey was for so long for Murray State, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on, these guys that come in and have a lot of success.
My last football comment is I go up into the booth. I watch from the sixth floor. It's a little lower than our usual spot on the seventh, can see better. And lo and behold, there is a press spot for Kaiser Lowe. It's like, is this guy ever going to get to Texas? Now, it may have been from last year. I don't know. But there it is. But I see today, I just checked Facebook. I was looking for some information on somebody, and I think he's just arrived in Texas. How about that?
Yeah.
Finally. Only took him about a year to get there.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I was like, Kaiser, man, if it took me that long to get to Savannah, Georgia, I mean, I don't know what Neil would have done. I mean, Neil, you think he's getting on you about it. I said, you've had like a five-month going-away party. I mean, he was wearing Texas gear back in the winter to basketball games.
Yeah, you've had two going away parties for him just at your house, haven't you?
He's been to Savannah for the last time twice. So I mean, I don't know, but I'm glad he's there safely.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but he'll be back in Kentucky in a month for my wedding.
Of course.
You know, so I mean, it's not, you know, he's going to be there for a month and then he's going to be back anyway. So does it, you know? But he is finally there safe, and that's exciting. But you know, Kaiser had a lot more of a going away ceremony. He did a lot of this is my last meal. This is my last time I'll use this sidewalk, you know what I mean? He's
yeah.
very ceremonious and emotional for Kaiser, and he spent a lot more time in Murray than I did, but I was kind of like, hey, let's grab some of the guys that I like and Neil, and we'll all go to lunch, and I think that was kind of my way out of town. There was a lot of people I didn't even say bye to, not because I didn't want to, but I didn't have time. I was pretty busy.
All right, well, I guess that's going to pretty much do it for today. You got things you need to do, and it's about nap time for me, so
right.
So we're going to try to do another show Wednesday, or is this a two-show week? What's going on with you?
No, I'm good. I'm open on Wednesday and Thursday.
How about that?
So we should be able to do three shows this week, much to all of our audiences this May.
All right. Sounds good. We'll chat with you Wednesday, Ricky.
All right, man. See you.
That'll do it.
So much sports just to talk about. We use the flesh and bones lay away. With the miracle of the internet, now you can listen to us talk all day. Before we flush podcast, the better way to waste your time. Subscribe to it on iTunes, it doesn't cost you a dime. Talking local high schools in Murray State, Neil and Ricky will set you straight. Before we flush podcast.